Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I was a witness. The Golden State Warriors played an NBA game. The Clippers did not. And the Warriors pouncing on the Clippers at Staples Center. I was an eyewitness to the carnage. It was a public beat down here. A flogging of the Clippers. A classical boat race situation. The very definition of boat race is when you jump out to a big lead and you just keep. Yeah, that was what happened. So there's no need. I mean, this is the story. Now, normally we don't talk about a blowout game, but I've been told it's part of the rule. I have to talk about the Clippers. People have said the American people demand Clipper talk. They want that. So I will give the consumer what the consumer wants. And that's my job here, right? Play the hits. And Kevin Durant made a shot over there. He made a shot over there. A clinical, surgical performance. He didn't get 50, though. The Warrior media fanboys that follow Golden State and cheer for the Warriors, they said he was going to get 50. He did not. And the reason he didn't get 50 is because he played 30 minutes. That's why he didn't get 50. But he didn't get 50. So there you go. Congratulations. All right, but the question here is, what do you make of this? This was a disastrous from the Clippers side of things, performance, and for Golden State, they came back and won by 27. They led during the course of the game, which the Warriors had a 31-point lead and blew it in the previous game. In this game, the Warriors had a 36-point lead, and they got outscored in the paint. The Clippers had more second-chance points in the game, and it didn't matter because Golden State made 15 three-point shots and all that, a bunch of shots everywhere. Clippers had more foul shots, but that's actually part of the story here. So my takeaway from this curb stomping here, what do you make of the curb stomping Golden State gave to the Clippers? Now, I've got the Daily Double, the Squeaky Wheel, and Hollywood Nights. All right, those three things. And we'll put all of this into a chicken pot pie, and we'll bake it. The crust on a chicken pot pie is just great. And we'll bake it for about 15 minutes and until it's golden brown, and then we'll eat it. Now, number one, the Warriors obviously got the message there, the laser-like focus for Golden State. The text message was received after being, let's remind you, humiliated, the biggest choking dog performance in NBA history the Golden State Warriors turned in Game 2. In this game, they did not fall asleep behind the wheel, right? So a dramatic improvement there. And it's what we call a mouthwash game for Kevin Durant. Now, what is a mouthwash game? A mouthwash game, I'll tell you. You have a rotten egg taste in your mouth, and you come back and you have a performance like this. It's like mouthwash. You have a nice taste after that. And Curry and Durant combined. All right, now, Golden State made a concerted effort to get Kevin Durant a lot of opportunities to put up a bunch of points. They were force-feeding Kevin Durant the ball because that's what you have to do. Because if you don't do that, Kevin Durant will stand out there and he'll play with his fingers. And be like, oh, look at that. How many fingers do I have? Oh, look at that. I still have 10. Yeah, that's how Durant goes. So you have to force the issue with Durant. But midway through the second quarter, right? Now, we know in Game 2, back on Monday, Durant had 8 shots the entire game and 9 turnovers. Midway through the second quarter in Game 3, he was 7 of 9. He had already taken more shots than he did in the entirety of Game 2 in Game 3, and his first miss didn't happen until 16 minutes into the game. You know, 16 minutes into the game, and then he had a miss. Now, he still had a bunch of turnovers. He had 5 turnovers in the game, but if you're putting up 38 points, it's okay. You can have 5 turnovers. It's fine. He was plus 32 when he was on the court, and Steph Curry had 21 points. It was the Daily Double. Those guys combined, they shot 62% from the floor. And Steph Curry, I was there before the game. He never misses, and even in warmups. I know it's unreal, man. Patrick Beverley, my guy Patrick Beverley, he was missing every shot he took even before the game. Curry, I don't think he missed one. Maybe it was just a good night for Curry shooting in the warmups because Michael Jordan, I remember seeing Jordan years ago, and he would miss. I didn't see Curry miss one shot. It was crazy town. Anyway, all right, second thing here. Now, Kevin Durant, this is really the story of this game. This is my takeaway. Kevin Durant bitching the other day, right? That was heard loud and proud. Loud and proud at the NBA League office. This was a textbook example of the squeaky wheel getting the grease. Kevin Durant called Patrick Beverley a pest. He credited the gimmick Clipper defense, right? Those are terms he used, pest, gimmick. And not only Durant, but the Warriors called Big Brother. They called the NBA headquarters in Manhattan and demanded preferential treatment. They did. You know what? They got it. The NBA heard, right? Game three, the loophole that the Clippers had used to mess with the Warriors' mojo was closed. Now, should the Clippers and Warriors play straight up, there is no chance for the Clippers to win. There is no path to victory. There's none, right? There's such a great divide that it is an impossibility. The Clippers have to fight dirty. They have to fight dirty on defense. They have to grind it out, scratch, claw, all that stuff. And some strategic calls early in the game. And this is where the dumb fan doesn't get it. The uneducated fan doesn't get it. But the smart fan gets it, right? Early in the game, it was like sending a large skywriting message there. When you're on the beach during the summertime, the big skywriting. The message was directed towards Patrick Beverley and friends. And the message was, the jig is up. That was the message, right? That was the message. They're not going to let him play. Traditionally in the NBA playoffs, I don't know, for 80 years, they've allowed players to play, right? That's how you do it. Let them play. They swallow the whistle. No, the officials here decided to have a whistle party, which is, you know, the NBA's prerogative, how they want to do that. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet of fouls, is what it was. It was. They wanted to call a ton of fouls. They 53 personal fouls. 53 bloody personal fouls were called in this particular game. So Scott Foster, Leon Wood, and Jason Phillips, the Three Stooges, the referees got... They got the message, and that's how they wanted to call the game. And if they're going to call the game like that, you're going to have a whistle party. Good luck. Patrick Beverley had three fouls in the first 15 minutes of action. The game got away, and then there you go. He had a bunch of garbage time. But if Beverley can't play defense where he's allowed to, you know, use both hands and physicality, which, you know, they normally allow in the playoffs, there you go. The Golden State was much more aggressive, right? They were more aggressive. And they also, they were committing a lot of fouls. They're like, well, we'll mess up what the Clippers are trying to do. We won't let them shoot as many open shots and all that stuff. But the key to the game was the way the game was officiated, right? This particular game changed. That's the NBA's prerogative to change how this goes. But you know, the fact that the Warriors needed the league office to help unshackle themselves from the Clippers says a lot about Golden State. I mean, what are you doing here? I mean, you're not good. You're not good enough with the Harlem Globetrotters to beat the Clippers unless you make sure that they call it like a regular season game. Anyway, the last word on this. Now, is the series over? Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. I'll tell you why. It's not a best of three series. They've only played three games. So the fact that Golden State's won two, fine. They've still got to win another two games. And my theory is that the Clippers actually have an excellent chance of winning this weekend. And I'll tell you why. The Warriors are going to be back into... I'm going to explain here. The Warriors are going to be back into cocky mode, all right? For the next 48 hours or so, every NBA blowhard media person will be waxing poetic about how wonderful the Warriors are, how great they are. Oh, my God. Just fawning and just licking all over the Golden State Warriors. And so what's going to happen? The Warriors' MO is they then revert into bad habits. You also have, as Mr. Nice Guy pointed out to me the other day from the Bay Area, you have the schedule gods smiling on the Clippers. Why is that? You think Draymond Green and you know, even Andrew Bogut, some of these other bozos on the Warriors, do you think that they are going to, A, stay in their hotel room, not go out at all, just laser-like focus, watching video of highlights and all that all weekend? Or do you think, B, that Draymond Green and many of the other Warrior players will be behind the velvet ropes at the club Friday and Saturday? Yeah, I'm going to go with that, which means they will be enjoying the debauchery of the Hollywood Nights and Beverly Hills and all the other spots in Los Angeles and all the Sodom and Gomorrah that goes on when we're here in bunkered down at the radio station. But that's out there, those L.A. Nights. But wait, there's more. You stack a day game on Easter Sunday, right? Early start on the West Coast. This is a setting up. It's a very encouraging spot for the Clippers to get another game. I'm telling you, the overconfidence is the only real thing that can derail the Golden State Warriors. And they're going to be overconfident again because of this game in game number 3. And a distracted Warriors team gives the Clippers a shot. Now, if the NBA is going to continue down this path of not letting them play, then you've got a gigantic bridge to nowhere is what you got. But the way it's set up, this is, you're looking for an angle here. This is a pretty good spot. It's a pretty good spot. Here's Patrick Beverly. Patrick Beverly, who was in early foul trouble there. He only played 18 minutes in the game. He picked up 4 fouls in 18 minutes. Here's Beverly, who commented on what the hell happened there against Durant.
He came out really aggressive, posted me up more. Kind of knew that.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Coming in, that he was going to come in really aggressive. Made a couple early, and from that point, like any basketball player, you make a couple early, the basket gets bigger. Have to do a better job and, fighting for position. But, give him a lot of credit and make shots.
Yeah. Oh, see, this is good. I like that. Beverly's going to come back. He's going to be biting people. He'll be kicking them in the nuts. It's going to be great. He'll be elbowing people, Beverly. Oh, it's going to be good. Yep, absolutely. There you go. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia.
Now, I know you went out to the Staples Center to catch a little bit of that game.
Hanging with Clipper Darrell. We had a good time.
Clipper Darrell, all right.
The great Ralph Lawler. Ralph Lawler did admit, he said, Ben, he knew of the bet that we made 20 years ago. And he did confirm the wager was made. He had a very good memory. He had a good laugh about that. Solid.
But still not going to pay up by kissing your tookus there.
Well, he said there's still another game, is what he said. He said there's still another game.
Oh, my.
I tried to find Helmet Man.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, I walked out, something I never do. I walked out the VIP area where all the Hollywood idiots hang out, and that's how they leave. And there's a paparazzo there from TMZ and all the tabloids and idiots trying to get autographs of the celebrities. So I walked out that door, and everyone looked at me like, who the hell's this idiot? But I walked out, and then I didn't see Helmet Man. He wasn't there.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe he got there later, because I had to leave a little bit early, so I don't know if he was there later. But there were a group of people there that they were waiting, but I did not see him.
I assume his move is to I don't want to say accost, but to approach the celebrities as they're leaving? Is that his move?
Well, he knows the people with the money.
Yeah.
See, my man, Helmet Man's a smart man. He knows the people with the big wads of cash come out that side of the arena. So those are the people that say they won't buy anything, but they'll just throw them a couple of bucks, $40 or $20 or whatever, and that's how we roll.
Yeah,
through the hood,
Yeah. Kevin Durant, I love Durant, such a front runner. Durant has a terrible game in game 2, runs and hides, right? Tail between his legs. Has a great game in game 3. He's out there answering questions with the media after the game, having a great time. Oh my God, he did say,
"Who are you?"
yeah, I know who you are. Kevin Durant announced his name. Remember that the other day that he announced who he is. But Durant said he expects his technical foul to get rescinded, he said. He's simply having conversation. Well, I'm sure if Steve Kerr and the Warriors just call the league office, they'll take care of that right away.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just in case you forgot, Eddie. There you go.
I appreciate the help on that.
Yeah, so he talked about his technical. Very, very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Someone named Derek White took a can of mace and sprayed it in the face of the Denver Nuggets. I don't know who this is. Derek White.
Racist.
A wrecking ball. Who knew? And the Spurs, who were down early in the first half, they trailed by 10 early on, but then as the game progressed, it was a very impressive win for San Antonio. I say very impressive. The second half was a domination situation, but 118 to 108 was the five. You saw the game. White also had five rebounds and five assists. He even hit a three-point shot, and he was able to take advantage of a weak link. All of athletic competition, from the time you start playing sports as a little kid all the way till you're even a grown-ass person, is taking advantage of a piece of kryptonite, a weak spot. And the Denver Nuggets, the way that they play on the perimeter leaves a lot to be desired. There's a lot there, right? And Derek White was able to feast inside, and no Denver players were able to stay in front of him. It's like they had these giant concrete blocks on their feet, and they were unable to move, which I think is important. I think lateral movement is important. I never played professional basketball, but I believe it is somewhat important. I've watched a lot of professional basketball games. I think it is mildly important, but let's go right to it. We're not going to waste a lot of time. Let's get right to the Komodo Dragon in the room. This performance by White, who had the stat line for the ages, right, with the numbers there that we gave you, they're destroying and taking apart and exerting his will against the Nuggets. The final stat line was 36 points, a plus 30 on the plus minus for Derek White in 33 minutes. He scored 36 points, and he shot over 70% from the floor. Keep in mind, this is a player that nobody really heard of prior to this. So let's discuss. Now, the question, should the Nuggets be embarrassed to allow an unknown guy like Derek White to almost single-handedly beat them into submission? I'm not going to agree with that. I do not think they should be embarrassed. There's other things to be humiliated about, but that is not one of them. All right? My thoughts on this, you've got the storybook, the mouse, and physicality. Those three things, all right? And we'll put them all together. We'll write the letters into the box like the crossword puzzle. We'll complete the crossword puzzle. Now, number one, when you play the Spurs, there are two guys. If I said to any simpleton, here are the people you have to slow down to beat San Antonio, the vintage of the Spurs of 2019, they are LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. Those are the persons of interest. The problem for Denver here is that, yeah, White went bonkers, but they didn't stop the other guys. It's like everyone had a big game offensively, the key guys for San Antonio. Denver played Matador defense. When you play Matador defense, you say, ole, 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 yeah. And they run by you like they're running the Bulls. In this case, the running of the Spurs. And you look at Aldridge and DeRozan, who weren't the headliners in this game because they didn't have the biggest stat line, they combined shot about 50%. They combined for 43 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists, which when you say those are two guys, you know, those numbers are manageable. But Derek White is somebody, if you're the Nugget coaching staff, you're like, okay, let him shoot. He's a nobody. He's a supporting actor. If you're going to get beat, you don't want to get beat by the top guys. You want to stop them. Make these other players beat you. And he happened to have the planets line up for him. The quote of the night was from the Nuggets coach, Michael Malone, who said of Derek White that he came out like he hadn't eaten in 2 days. And he was hungry. And he came out pissed off. And he sent a very loud and clear message. Now, I have gone 2 days without eating. I try to do it once a week. I try to go 2 days without eating once a week. And I got to tell you, I do come out hungry. I am pissed off. And I do send a very loud and clear message in the Maller monologue. I do. But if you're Michael Malone, here's what you do. As far as Derek White, you say, okay, that was great. Take a bow. Do it again. go out there and do it again, Mr. Tough Guy. Now, should he be able, Derek White, to have the sequel be the equal? If that's the case, the Denver Nuggets are mincemeat. Done. See you later. Put them in the deep fryer with a side of fries in a value meal combo at McDonald's. They're over. But you got to challenge him to do it again. Let's see if he can do it. Is this a one-hit wonder? Now, the storybook part of this, I don't know who this guy is. I read up on him a little bit when he kept making baskets for the Spurs, and he's like a Division II guy. He's from the Colorado area, played college ball in the Colorado area. But this is the kind of storybook stuff that sports media love, right? It's easy. Just add a little bit of water. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. The sports media loves it. Local guy comes back to haunt his hometown team. He was playing when he was drafted in the first round, but it was the end of the first round, Derek White. And pretty much if you're not a lottery pick, you're not expected to do much. And there are exceptions. There are exceptions to guys that weren't lottery picks that have turned out to be good players, all-star players, undrafted players that are productive players, Patrick Beverley. But if you're not drafted in the first 15 picks or so of the draft or whatever the lottery is, then you're looked down upon, right? And he was playing in the G League. So that's the storybook thing, right? This guy was in the G League playing in Austin a while back, and now here he is in the playoffs, and he is taking a knife and slashing the throats of the Nugget players. Now, the second thing here, as we chat on Fox Sports Radio, the Nuggets, they got to get their own house in order here because they lost this game in a slow, painful, death by a thousand paper cut type of approach. And when I was monitoring this game, the Nuggets were like the mouse on a treadmill. They couldn't quite get the cheese. They had the cheese early. They had a 10-point lead, but they didn't even get a lead in the second half. So after halftime, San Antonio led the entire second half. They never trailed. They weren't up by 1,000 points and all that, but they were up enough, as it turned out. And it was more like the methodical approach the Spurs have had in the past, the traditional playoff basketball. You know, 3-point lead at halftime, ended up outscoring the Nuggets by 7 points in the second half to get to that 10-point margin. But Denver continues to be spotty. I have no skin in the game. I don't. We know what we feel on this show about the Nuggets. But I do like the zigzag theory. Michael Malone, it's an odd thing because he talked out of both sides of his mouth. He challenged his team for Game 4. All right, he did that. It's a stay-alive situation. You fall down 3-1, you're done. That's it. You're in the intensive care unit. In any of these situations, you got to make adjustments and all that, the cliche standard stuff. But Malone also said that he was leaning towards not making any lineup changes, which seems like a really bad idea. Now, I don't want to go inside the how they make the hot dogs with the Nuggets, but I look at a guy like Will Barton, and if I was coaching the Nuggets, having watched them for just a couple of games here, I would look at a guy like Will Barton and say, let's say he was on the court for 20 minutes, and while he was out there, the Nuggets were outscored by 23 points. Maybe I would put him on the bench. Maybe I wouldn't put Will Barton in the starting lineup. And a guy like Malik Beasley, who was very productive.
Who?
I don't know. His name's Malik Beasley.
Never heard of him.
I used to know a guy named Malik Sealy. He was a good guy. Played with the Clippers years ago. He was killed by a drunk driver. But Malik Beasley played very well for the Nuggets, but he's a backup. He's a backup. You might want to move him in the starting lineup. You might want to do that. I'm just saying. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox as we press on, as they say. But the Nuggets have to get more physical. They have to. The Spurs outscored the Nuggets by 20 points in the paint. Physicality. I don't think, is that even a real word, physicality? Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it's a real word. But anyway, second chance points in the paint. The Nuggets are going to sit there and shoot jump shots. And I guess that's the way to do it, right? It's not alarming because that's what Golden State does. That's what Houston does and all that. But if I'm the Nuggets, if you want to avoid the sad trombone from playing, you might want to find a way to work it out a little bit, will you? You know what I'm saying? You feeling me on this? All right, let's hear from Michael Malone. I think this is the soundbite where he talks about hunger. I think this is it. Let's here's Michael Malone, the coach of the Who the Hell Cares About Denver Nuggets.
Derek White came out like he hadn't eaten in 2 days. Yeah. He came out hungry. He came out pissed off. And he sent a very loud and clear message. How do we respond to that? Where is your pride? You know, where is your toughness? Yeah. Where's your grit?
That's right. Bunch of sissies. All right. That's what he's saying. Since he wanted to lampoon the Nuggets, but he couldn't, you know, he couldn't go all in. That's a good point. Yeah, at some point you have to say, all right, now this guy, I get the mindset, and I agree, as I said in the monologue, you want to stop the other guys. They couldn't stop. It was ridiculous. They couldn't stop the other guys, and this guy went nuts. They didn't play much defense. Offensively, the Nuggets actually were productive, although it's one of those, it didn't seem as good as the numbers indicated. You know what I mean? The key guys in the Nuggets, when they were on the court, the starting lineup of the Nuggets, like Paul Millsap, the Nuggets got outscored by 32 points when he was on the court, in a minus 32. And Nikola Jokic, Mr. Jokic, Nuggets were outscored by 25 with him on the court. All right, so Ben Maller Show, we say hello to Edmond Dallas. Oh, we have more from Malone? Oh, let's hear more of Malone. Then we'll say hi to Eddie. We have Mike Malone here, Michael Malone, pointing out what I said about the physicality. He must be reading my mind.
Jamal, first and foremost, has to take a lot more pride in his ability to guard and contain and make Derek White feel him. Derek White did not feel us tonight. He did not feel us. They did not feel us. And we felt them for 48. They were the more physical team, and that's why they kicked our butt.
Yeah. What he's really saying there, I've got my super decoder ring on. He's saying his team was gutless. They were lacking courage. Is that not what he's saying, right? That's a different way to say it. It's more harsh. But the Nuggets were timid. They were frightened. Right? That's how they play. And instead of being the aggressor, they were not the aggressor. They were subservient defensively. They recoiled is what they did. All right, here's one more. Now, here is, let's move on. We don't have any more Malone. What do we got? Murray here? All right. This is Jamal Murray, who is saying, you think he's going to say, A, the series is over. We're done. Dunskies, that's it. B, no comment. Or C, we're coming back. Let's find out.
We got to show some fight. We got to show some urgency, some aggression, some passion. You know, we got to show all that on the road. We got to bring our own energy. We got to play fast. You know, we got to do all the things that we got to do to win. So I'll be ready next game. Most of the times when I say I bounce back, I do. So I'll bounce back.
He did say most times, not all the time. So most times when I say something, it's going to happen. That was a nice Machine Gun Kelly style cliche buffet from Jamal Murray. Can we play that again? Because he went through like 7 or 8 big buzz cliches of the NBA postseason, did he not?
We got to show some fight. We got to show some urgency. Some aggression. Some passion.
Passion.
You know, we got to show all that on the road. We got to bring our own energy.
Energy.
We got to play fast.
Fast.
Now we got to do all the things that we got to do to win. So I'll be ready next game. Most of the times when I say I bounce back, I do. So I'll bounce back.
I counted 8. How long
was
that?
Yeah, that's what I got.
How long was that soundbite?
13 seconds.
13 seconds. 8 cliche terms in 13 seconds? That's pretty good. It's a solid effort by Jamal Murray there, the Denver Nuggets. Eddie Garcia is right over there. You're either in life, you're either ascending or descending, right? Humans never really tread water. You're either going up or you're going down.
Is that right?
It's a deep thought, Eddie, right there. Yep, deep thought. Either going up or you're going down.
Well, you know, I'm not a huge NBA guy.
I hear that, Eddie. This is a tough time of the year for you, Eddie, because it's a big part of
it. No, it's fine. No, it doesn't bother me. But
I am going to do football. People were demanding me I talk about a story of a fat quarterback, so it's on my list for next hour.
I'll mark that down.
Fat quarterback.
I'm just glad because, I mean, look, I know most of the players.
You know their names.
But when I saw Derek White had a huge game for San Antonio, I said, I have no clue who that guy is, what he looks like, where he's from. Never in my life heard
of
him.
That's a tough name. He needs a nickname.
It is a generic name.
He needs a nickname.
But I'm glad to hear I wasn't the only one.
Named John Doe or something.
No clue who that is.
He played
good for him. Good
he
for him.
Played for Colorado Springs Mountain Lions. And then he eventually.
I never heard of his school either.
He eventually went to the big school in Boulder, the University of Colorado. But he started out as a D2 guy.
Uh-huh.
Is how he started. But he's a Colorado kid. He went to school in Parker, Colorado and all that. So he's from
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we will not hear much from him again. But good for him.
Well,
good
that's what I'm saying.
On his night?
I'm saying if I'm the Nuggets, I'm like, do it again. Keep going.
Yeah.
But you got to stop those other – I mean, you got to do a little bit on defense occasionally. You know, I'm thinking, you know, if you want to have a shot. So, anyway. All right, so Ben Maller's show on Fox. We got lame jokes later. The Weed Man Radio Roast continues to be a success. Just Josh was very upset with all the new joke writers because just in the early day, in the early days of the jokes, it was just pretty much just Josh and like two other people that would send jokes in. But now we've got everyone that thinks they want to just unload and just wail away on Weed Man.
You got 2 segments full again?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's endless, man. It's unreal. I spend a large part of my day just compiling all the jokes, and I leave some out because I don't even have time to get to all of them. It's insanity. But just Josh was like, well, once these people, you know, once these joke writers go away, once the Weed Man thing's over, I'll still be writing jokes, is what he said. So he wanted to let that out. And I wrote back, I believe I said that, hey, we thought once Bartolo Colon left baseball, that was it. Because it was pretty much just Bartolo Colon jokes for the first year and a half we did lame jokes. But now Bartolo's gone, we still get an occasional stray Bartolo Colon joke, but it's a lot of Weed Man jokes and people goofing on us. So let's go to the phones. Cashing a golden ticket, the Cowboy Killer is up next here on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, Cowboy Killer.
What's going on, Ben? How you doing, my man?
I'm living large. I'm in charge. I'm fine. Everything's wonderful. I could not be happier. Look at me.
Living the life.
Yes. How can we help you, Cowboy Killer, now that we've got the niceties out of the way? How can we help you?
Look, I'm not here to defend Peyton Manning,
There's a non sequitur.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. There's a non sequitur, Eddie. Peyton Manning. Let's do a deep dive.
I'm glad. Next thing you know, he's not going to be here to argue that Pete Rose needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's another good topic from back in the day. Pete Rose, Hall of Fame, not Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds, should the record be legit or not legit? What do you think? What's your dilemma? People only call when they have a dilemma. If everything's great, you don't call. So what's your dilemma?
No, there's no dilemma, actually. What I'm calling, well, first of all, I'd like to thank Eddie, King Eddie, for the golden ticket that I'm cashing
in. No, he's not allowed to give you.
Oh, you're welcome.
What, he's not allowed to give you a golden ticket.
It's from when he won Balderdash.
Well, how long ago was that?
A couple weeks when he played Lenny.
Really? I don't remember. Wait a minute.
When Eddie won Balderdash.
Wait. Oh, Eddie.
Yeah. I got confused there, too. Yeah.
He works on the show. He didn't get a golden ticket for that. What?
Why wouldn't he?
This is an illegitimate golden ticket.
What's going on here?
This is a... You don't have a... Wait a minute.
And no, he did. He's going.
No. No, he was playing the... No. Wow. What kind of shenanigans are you people doing?
I'm on the air anyway, Ben. I'm on the air right now.
You're on the live air, and I got to tell you, Eddie, this is a terrible phone call. It's your fault, Eddie. This is a terrible phone call.
Well, let him finish it.
Okay, yeah, this is what I'm called about, but first of all, I want to thank Eddie.
You said, how you doing?
You're welcome.
Thanks, Eddie. I mean, what are we doing? Just get to the meat of the call. Jesus.
Okay, last October, I emailed you about, I was going to meet your BFF at a convention. Shatner.
Oh, Shatner, yeah.
Yeah, but I was in a car accident the night before, and I didn't get to go. Oh. Well, this weekend... Shatner is going to be in town. Is there anything that you want me to say to Shatner? I'll be the messenger.
No, he's disturbed. You're going to get arrested. If you bring my name up, you'll get arrested. I'm telling you, I don't want you to be in handcuffs. When Shatner hears my name, he snaps. All right? He's a distressed individual. He's a very angry old man. I don't leave Shatner alone. All right? I mean, he's angry. And
I actually wanted to take a sign and say that I was trying to make amends between you and Shatner. I have no problem going up to him. I know. I will do it at the end of the convention. All right, because
well,
I don't want
to
get
you understand, for legality reasons, I cannot tell you to bring my name up. I cannot
okay,
do it.
Okay.
So for legal reasons, I can't do that. Now, if you choose to do it on your own and have him sign like a Spats with Shats Maller Militia sign or something like that, I can't stop you from doing that. But I
okay.
can't, for liability reasons, should you get arrested and become very litigious, I cannot tell you to do that. What you choose to do on your own free will, Cowboy Killer, that is your choice to make in life.
Yeah. Sounds great.
All right.
Sounds great.
Just make sure if, you,
right,
if you do do that, make sure you let me know about it. Yeah. All
yeah.
right.
If I'll send you a mail from jail.
But
I ended up in jail.
But again, Cowboy Killer, I'm saying you should not do that. But if you choose to do it, let me know about it, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you. All right. Go away. Solve that right there, didn't we?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, let's get to it. Kubalu, what's on the list?
After the Clippers' big comeback against the Warriors the other day, TMZ caught up with Lou Williams and asked if he thinks that he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Now, Williams said that he's seen others in there that have done less. Do you agree?
The Basketball Hall of Fame is unlike all other Hall of Fames. They have different categories. There's like Russian coaches in there. It's very odd what they do in Springfield, Massachusetts. But I will say, yes, Lou Williams should get in the Hall of Fame. Here's what Lou needs to do. Lou can fly from LAX to Logan Airport in Boston. He can then rent a car, drive about 2 hours to Springfield, Massachusetts. He can then use a credit card or cash, buy a ticket to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. It's $24 to get in. I looked it up. It's $24. There you go. You're good. Look, in terms of actually getting in as a player, no. Like, Lou Williams would have to dominate for the next 5 years. He's at the end of his prime. He's 32. I like watching Lou Williams play. His contemporaries are players like Michael Cooper, Damon Stoudemire, Nate McMillan. Good but not great NBA players. But he is in the Hall of Fame for many men. He's the pimp daddy because he had two girlfriends at the same time, and they were
That's
aware
true.
Of each other. So that should get you some kind of credit.
Hall of Famer in my eyes.
There you go. Next. He pulled that one off. Wow.
David Griffin is the new GM for the New Orleans Pelicans. And when speaking with the media yesterday, he touted his longstanding successful relationship with Clutch Sports. Now, so he proclaimed that he's looking forward to building something with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, building a trade.
Yeah. Ben, any chance Anthony Davis stays?
No. Well, there's always a chance, right? There's always a chance. But it's like 2%. It's 2%. Anthony Davis has made his mind up. His people want him out of New Orleans, right? He wore that That's All shirt the final game, then admitted he's a grown-ass man that doesn't even dress himself. I mean, come on. David Griffin's a media darling and all that stuff. But, no, outside of drugging and handcuffing Anthony Davis, he's playing for somebody else. All right, real quick, cool. What do we got?
Now, the Steelers' Twitter account wanted people to answer how many touchdowns James Conner was going to get.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell said 17. That would set a new franchise record.
Yeah.
What's the over-under for James Conner touchdowns, Ben?
All right, he had 12 touchdowns and one receiving touchdown last year. I'll say he's about that level again. No, he's not getting 17 touchdowns for the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell's just sucking up to Steeler fans. I don't know why. Right, how do we do? I won. He said I won.
Pass.
I won. I passed.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Play the big open there. We'll get
knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
All right, I hear you around there with the police out in front of his house.
Yeah, holy bleep.
Weed man hippie. Hello.
Hey, Ben. Lady Dykstra, I love you. Dwight Gooden, I love you. Hey, Ben, you're doing our work. You're fixing racism. Your whole monologue, top of the show. Hey, I hate that song. I hate the song.
What song?
At Yankee Games.
God bless
Yankee,
America.
At Yankee Games, I'm like, Sam, stop it. Stop.
Right.
And what about Al?
Can we get to the jokes? No?
You're so right. What about, hello, Mammy? Hello, Patrick. What about that? That was black guy doing blackface. He was doing racist stuff. That was Al Jolson then.
Yes.
I'm aware.
I mean, you judge people. You can't judge people on today's social things.
The Bible was made for people.
That's a good point. There is a lot of stuff in the Bible that is borderline. All right, well, let's stop. Let's get to it. Here we go. Big Ben's lame jokes. I'll bounce it off. Eddie, you'll bounce it back to me. Roberto will play this, blah, 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 that. All right, Coop's got his offensive jokes. Here we go. What will never, ever, why will you hear, never, ever hear Bartolo Colon say? What will you will never hear him say? We're off to a good start.
Good
what
God.
Will you?
I don't know, Ben. Yeah. What will we never hear Bartolo Colon say, ever?
Who the hell cares about the chicken nuggets? He will never say that. He will never say that. What do Bruce Jenner and a Seahawk Maller monologue have in common?
Bruce Jenner and a Maller monologue about the Seahawks. What do they have in common?
Suddenly, they completely switch sides right in the middle. That's odd.
Yeah, an Olympic star. Jesus.
Why did Tigers manager Ron, this is from Cowboy John Brad. Why did the last one was from Bill in Iowa. Why did Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire give the boys glasses of prune juice instead of bats to bring to the plate?
I don't know. Why did Ron Gardenhire give them prune juice instead of bats?
Gardenhire wanted to be sure the Tigers finally got some runs. So he – all right, that's Cowboy. Cowboy in Windsor sent that one in. It's Big Ben's lame jokes.
Cowboy, I'm a big fan.
Of the week when Angry Bill is with a date, why does he leave the toilet seat up?
Oh, I don't know, Ben. Why does Angry Bill leave the toilet seat up when he's with a date?
Makes it easier for her to get a drink. You know, the dog.
That's
Gary.
Take that in your pooper and pop it.
Yeah. Gary from Youngstown. Why does the Easter Bunny have to see his psychiatrist after Easter?
I don't know. Why does the Easter Bunny need to see a psychiatrist after Easter?
He's a basket case. I don't know what's up with that, man. So, Eek in Roseville, California. Thank you, Eek. Why do seagulls live by the sea?
I don't know, Ben. Why do seagulls live by the sea?
Because if they lived by the bay, they'd be bagels, Eddie. That's come on, right? Come on, everyone. That's Mark from Chino Hills, California. You got anything, Coop, to start off with, Coop? Anything at all?
Let's see. Let's go with this one. What do you get when you shoot Weed Man Hippie up with some Novocaine?
I don't know.
A numbnut. It's from Just Josh.
Give me a laughing gag.
How does the Easter Bunny contact the president?
I don't know. How does the Easter Bunny contact the president?
He has his peeps called Trump's peeps. That's what they say. It's just all peeps. It's all. That's from
peeps
Eek.
Are disgusting.
Eek, I agree with you. They are. That's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota.
They're nasty.
Why wouldn't Bill Cosby date anyone from Tennessee?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Why wouldn't Bill Cosby date anyone from Tennessee?
Volunteers aren't really his type. that's from Bill and Iowa. We'll pause for the calls. We got way too many jokes. We'll get to as many as we can. It's the lame jokes of the week, the Weed Man Radio Roast, a staple of the show. We'll get to that next. All right, it's Big Ben's lame jokes of the week, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. Everyone's here. Everyone's Weed Man's there. Eddie's over there. All right, who's Bartolo Colon's favorite old-time player, Eddie?
Bartolo's favorite old-time player. Who is that?
That would be Johnny Grubb. That's from Cowboy. Cowboy in Windsor sent that one in. Why is Weed Man so depressed?
I don't know. Why is Weed Man so depressed?
Even the sanctuary cities have banned him, and he's really bummed out. He's scary from Youngstown.
They arrested me sleeping in a church.
Why were there multiple trash bags and a dumpster at the probate courtroom?
I don't know. Why were there multiple trash bags and a dumpster at the probate courtroom?
They were dividing up Weed Man's estate. They were actually going through that.
One day.
When did Lisa know Weed Man was a stoner?
I don't know. When did Lisa know that Weed Man was a stoner?
His bong got washed more than the dishes. That's the Ernie the Great.
He can't afford a bong.
Ernie the Great Opiner says that wrote that in.
That's funny.
Why does Weed Man Hippie live in Miami?
I don't know. Why does Weed Man live in Miami?
Well, it's close proximity to all that seaweed, Eddie. There's a lot of seaweed right there. That's Steve in Miami. Anything over there, Koopaloop?
Did you know that Weed Man beat NASA to the punch?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he already has tons of pics of black holes on his phone.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
It's from Gary in Youngstown.
All right. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Let's see. I can't read that. We'll skip over that one. Did you hear that Weed Man was asked to walk Angry Bill's bride down the aisle?
No, I did not hear that. No.
Yeah, he just held her by the leash. That's all. So it was good. It's just Josh who sent that one in. Why did Weed Man want to skip elementary school?
I don't know. Why did Weed Man want to skip elementary school?
Because he wanted to go straight to high school, Eddie. He wanted to go to high school. So, Ernie the Great O'Piner, what's the difference between Weed Man hippie and a dirty T-shirt?
The difference between Weed Man and a dirty T-shirt is what?
A T-shirt could be changed and washed in the same day, Eddie, the same day. So, Manic Mike, what do Weed Man and the NBA playoffs have in common?
Weed Man and the NBA playoffs, what do they have in common?
They both are around too long, and we know how it's going to end. We know the end. So Bill from Iowa sent that one in. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Did you hear Weed Man is converting to Judaism?
No, I did not hear that. No.
Yeah, but he was planning on it, but when he heard of the 14 steps of a Passover Seder, he said, "Oi, that's too far to walk. That's it. I can't." That's Gary from Youngstown. Why the woman run off the stage crying on the Maury Povich show?
I don't know, Ben. Why did she do that?
She found out that Weed Man was the father, Eddie.
Oh, no. I run off, too.
Is Weed Man Jewish? Is Weed Man Jewish, Eddie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets passed over a lot. That's what's happening. Gary in Youngstown. We'll have more.